Hi guys, it's Kara, host of Everyone's Business But Mine. And let's be real, one thing that makes the show possible is by selling sponsorships to advertisers. One way you can support us in getting more sponsors is by telling us a little bit more about yourself. You can do that by filling out a quick survey at the link in the show description. Plus, your answers are anonymous. They'll help us learn what you love most about the show and how to make it even better. The questions will ask you about the things that help advertisers understand the audience. It'll only take a few minutes, and it's an easy way to help the show. So you can find the link in the show description. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the rest of the show.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right now, I don't really care that things are moving fast. I'm just really looking forward to whatever comes next. And I am very excited to become a sister wife to Tasha. And I'm just really excited for what life has in store for us.
We have to tell Tosh right away.
I'm excited to call her.
Okay, let's try it.
You think she's still up?
I don't know, but I hope I get reception.
Hi!
It's really bad.
Show her.
Oh my God!
To another episode of Everyone's Business But Mine with me, Kara Berry, Seeking Sister Wife Edition. We got to get into it, you guys. Join with me. Are they hilarious, incredible? My sisters in Christ, my sisters and dumb bitches, Rachel and Desi of Hollywood Crime Scene. Hi, guys.
Hi, Kara.
Hi, Kara.
So grateful to have you guys here on this very cursed day. We're in a post. Obsidian's done it. He's finally been able to nab an additional woman in his life. And I feel different. Do you?
Absolutely. I mean, we just saw this man and his not wife, Squeaky, fail and fail and get rejected. And it was getting sad. And I was embarrassed for them. So the fact that he actually has fiancéed this beautiful woman who seems very chill is incredible to me.
Shocking.
I'm still sad and embarrassed for him.
Well, yes, yeah. for other reasons, but he's finally achieved what he wanted to achieve.
Is it what he wants to achieve? Because here's the thing.
I
think Tasha Squeaky is the leader of this cult.
100%. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I don't, that's why I can accept this couple probably the most of any of them, because she's in charge, in my opinion. This guy is human Valium. He's the most boring. I think he's very kind-hearted. I don't find him to be like sinister like some of the other men.
No.
But he's truly one of the most boring human beings I've ever seen on TV in my life.
I agree. Yeah,
like these segments are so fucking like it. I could pass out. That's how dull they are. Just like I can't with him. As much as I think he is harmless, he's just irritating to me. But yeah, I guess good for him.
Good for us all. Squeaky really is like the embodiment of like speak softly and carry a big stick.
Mm, yes. And
her stick is like one of those rain sticks that you can get from like Brookstone or whatever, but she carries it for sure.
Well, she's truly the best manipulator of the whole bunch because she has him completely convinced he's in charge.
Yeah.
He's the only husband or male in this group who constantly calls her.
Yes. Yes.
And checks in with her. Like none of the other ones do, but he is adamant. He will get intimate, which first of all is the most disgusting word in the universe to me after watching this show. Because I was like, do these guys not know the word sex? It's always intimacy and intimate.
I know. So they always have to make things so weird.
But he'll like call her after they fuck. Like he checks in with her.
That's literally a really good point. Literally checked in with her after he proposed.
And here's the other thing. What's her name? Ariel. She also wants to check in with Tasha. Like they're both are under her thumb, right?
Big time.
Like of all the second wives or the new wives or the new girls, she's like, let's call Tasha. She's into it.
Here's a question I have. And this isn't about this particular episode. This is just about seeking sister wives and sister wives in general as a concept.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, for me personally, this arrangement, this type of relationship arrangement wouldn't work. But the only way I could see it working for me would be if we were all in a sexual relationship. Do you know what I mean?
Like a three-way?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the only way I can wrap my head around it. But it appears, or at least TLC doesn't let us know, that any of the women are having sex with each other.
Right.
But if any of them were, it's Tasha and Ariel.
100%.
Definitely.
Yeah,
she is the only woman who will be like, we are dating.
Right.
This is our girlfriend. Yeah. It's a very collective language that she uses. And it has, fuck energy. But they never really get into it. And it's frustrating.
So are we going to talk about this segment now with him?
Yeah, or? Well, I think we're gonna build up to them. We're actually gonna start with Mr. Peanut.
Oh god,
they weren't along for too long here. No. Janae is still somehow in town. This is the longest work trip ever. And so convenient to the filming schedule. I can't even believe it. She's still in town for some reason, and so it seems like this is the same night that she went for drinks with Taryn in India, because Mr. Peanut's wearing the same Bob the Builder outfit and he like wants to get into it. He's like, I'm going to fix myself an entire mug of Hennessy.
When he poured that mug, he laughed so hard. I was like, they don't have wine glasses, at least at that Airbnb. Like,
I mean, could we just do a finger and then work up to another finger? Like, why do we have to do half a pint right now? This is a lot.
I mean,
do we have to drive home?
I feel like Janae needed it more than him. He gave her give her like a can of rosé with a straw. Like,
I think it was like a special edition Red Bull or something.
Now, I know you discussed this with Jake from Reality Gaze, and which, by the way, shout out to them. I've been listening to Reality Gaze since they started, one of my favorite podcasts. But
Great. You
guys discussed the whole Mr. Peanut phenomenon, and I also just wanted to reiterate, I can't watch their scenes without being so baffled as to how this man specifically. How does he do it? How does he get all of these women? Not only does he get all these women, how did he convince his wife that he cheated on?
Yeah.
That they should bring the partner, the woman that he cheated with, into the fold?
Well, he literally gets women to fly to Orlando for this dick.
Right.
They're flying from out of state. For what?
For what?
He's like, of all, like, there's a few guys who I feel like always have an undercurrent of a smile that says to me, do you believe these fucking women are letting me get away with this?
Oh, yeah,
and he's at the top of that heap.
Well,
this guy just wants to fuck.
He was during this scene with Janae. He was just basking in the fact that he now has three women concerned that they don't have enough. They're not going to have enough dick time with him.
Oh, my God. That was like the hottest thing he could have heard.
He was basking in it.
And she had her lash extensions on for him. Like she, like, I was like, wait, I couldn't believe every time she still showed up. I was like, what are you leaving? She's right. Like, I flew down to Orlando. I'm going to make, right. Like, we have a connection. I was like, what's your connection?
I mean, I just want to know what she's getting out of this, because she's clearly, I mean, we saw her reaction a few episodes ago when they had their first get together, when he made her the salmon and he broke the news to her.
How good is this salmon? What's the one I want to know? That. Like, what is him with the salmon? Every time he made salmon, I was like, really? Like,
again, salmon?
Again.
That dinner did not look good to me. But he seduced her with that salmon. He seduced her with whatever. I don't know. I don't know why she's doing this.
No, it's truthfully, baffling.
He might be the only person who needs to do like a TED talk or like a tour of motivational speeches, because like, we need the answers. There have to be answers that he can give us. And I need concrete.
So cocky and full of himself. It's crazy. I mean, I was like, where did you get this confidence? You're 5 feet tall. It's kind of incredible. Like,
yeah, the man could not even clear the peephole when he walked through the door. I saw it.
I don't think I didn't even realize how small he was. And obviously, that's fine. There are short kings, but not every guy's a short king. Sometimes they're just a short asshole. Like, right. You know what I mean? He's like a con man or something. And until he hopped up on a bar stool with his date with Janae, that was like the first time I was like, oh, damn, like he is small. Like,
He really had to heave himself up there. And it's like, I think he gets getting shorter every episode.
You know, I almost think that that's true.
I agree.
Because I honestly did not notice it initially. You know, I was like, oh, okay, maybe he's 5'8" or whatever.
It's like a Willy Wonka situation where it's like if you've ever seen The Incredible Shrinking Man, where it's in the beginning stages of the movie where you're kind of like, oh,
wait, they're getting a little.
He's a little smaller. Not... And to the point where...
That chair looks bigger.
Oh my God. But yeah, I mean, wouldn't you be cocky if you were able to get multiple women to fly to Florida for you?
I mean, yeah, I would.
That's
a flex.
Yeah. Doesn't he have like 10 kids or something too? I heard.
That's what he said. Yeah. He says a lot of things. I don't know.
Only he would think that that's a brag.
It's right. Like, all over the country. Children
all over the country.
All over the country. No. I see him when I see him. Well, yeah, he's a real, what a piece of work. What an absolute piece of work. So Janae says that she's still not convinced yet. I feel like she likes Taryn, but she doesn't like India.
Right.
And she seems to have like clocked their roles, where like Taryn is kind of chill and India's the timeshare salesman. Like, she wants to let you know all of the perks that you can get. You get a free pizza at the end of this conversation. Like, it's
if you
want
to quit your job.
Yeah.
There's two other people working.
Right.
Right. And yeah, I feel like she doesn't like India, and I'm not sure why, because India is the only one who ever makes sense.
Yeah.
I think the funny thing with India is like, yes, she's like the salesperson, but it's also seething with rage and not wanting her to do it. It's like, she's doing her job and she's going to do it well, but she's not happy about it. Right. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's like both of them realize that they are aware that they're in this fucked up, bizarre situation.
Yeah.
And they're just sort of like begrudgingly going along with it for some reason.
That's sort of my thing that fascinates me on this show the most, is figuring out where the women are and their ability to psychologically break away from these assholes.
Yeah.
Because I feel like all of them don't want to have this situation happening, maybe outside of Tasha.
Right.
Like, they have some doubts, and they have some, I feel like some of them were pushed into it. Like, maybe
Danielle and Garrett.
Well, what's the Danielle for sure. I mean, that's like, forget it. But even what's the guy, the Wilson Phillips girls.
Oh, like, yeah. Jennifer and April.
Yeah, April, especially. Yeah. She has was she unable to have children?
She has a kid. She had a kid
with someone else.
She met him, but
why haven't they had kids?
Yeah, that's
what I was
question.
Wondering.
I'm not sure.
Anyway, I just feel like that's what I'm always waiting for. It's like, for Taryn, a little bit, I feel like at the beginning of the season, which was like my favorite part of the season, when Danielle clearly was trying to upset Bert with Leah, the greatest part of the season.
Yes.
By a mile. Like, yes. I just laughed so hard with her. Oh, she seems really jealous. I don't know if she can hear. Like, that was brilliant. Yeah, like so funny. I don't even care if Leah was a plant because it was worth the money to hire her just to see happen. And I almost wonder if Taryn's like, I'm just gonna lay low, let this play out, and eventually all these other bitches will be gone. Like, I could almost see her doing that.
Her
like,
thinking this is a long con.
Yeah, like she's just gonna wait her bide her time. Personally, I don't know why she would even care. She should leave. Like, yeah, I don't know what the prize at the end of that is. Marcus, no. Like, but yeah, I'm kind of always curious what the wheels are turning in these women's minds. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Taryn definitely seems like half Stockholm syndrome, but yeah, half that she's just waiting this out. And I'm ready to see which one it is because it's going to be a shocking twist, I think.
Yeah.
Then Mr. Peanut gets into like full manipulation mode. He somehow is able to twist it from Janae being like cautious and weary to, well, now you're starting to waste my time and you really need to let me know if you're interested in this. Otherwise, like, I'm flying you out. I'm spending a lot of money. So, and it's like, sir, like, I can't stand this man. Yeah, I cannot stand
him. He's trying to fuck with her confidence and telegraph to her, look, bitches clearly love me.
Yeah.
I could get women.
Yeah.
And you're wasting my time and money as an important businessman. My time and money is very valuable.
I got you this Orlando Airbnb for two nights. I brought you a Red Bull special.
Great.
I'm you taking salmon. My specialty.
Yeah, I you're loaded with omega-3s. What more else could you want from me? Like, he's really a true, true monster. And unfortunately, I think Janae's falling for it.
I agree. I think she's convincing herself.
Well, and the truth of the matter is, I can't remember who said it, but it's like, she's still there.
Yeah.
Right. Why didn't she leave after the first night when he tricked her? Like, that was, do you know what I mean? Like,
well, that's regardless of if this type of relationship doesn't work for you, the fact that he was deceitful should have been a deal breaker.
Exactly.
Because that's not the kind of part. This is the type of relationship where I would assume that you want full honesty and transparent. Like, that is paramount to having. I mean, any relationship, you need that. But I feel like, especially if there's multiple partners, everybody needs to be in communication with each other.
That's how you know he isn't really about the life. He's just about fucking other women.
Yeah.
Because most of these other people at least pretend they have this grand sort of noble cause of polygamy. And he's just like, doesn't have that really.
Yeah.
I agree with you. She would have been a queen if she said, you know what? I'm actually into polygamy, but because you were deceitful, I'm out. Because trust is everything in this type of relationship.
Right. I don't like being tricked. I don't like being swindled.
No. Especially traveling. I'm sorry. This isn't a date, like, or something like that. It's crazy.
No, I fully agree. And she says one thing stupid, which is she's afraid that if she doesn't move forward in the relationship that it might end things. And it's like, well, yeah, because you're dating. So like, if it doesn't work, you guys break up. That's how it works, Janae. Yeah.
I was disappointed in her because it's like, you are 35 years old and you're acting like you're 23, trying to do anything to keep this man.
For what?
I just need to know what he's bringing to the table.
What is it?
Like, I honestly don't get it. Like, I can see, like you said, if she's younger and she's like, I'm going to just take this guy's money for a year, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't get it. She's like, if she wants to have a family, she's 35. Like, she needs to get on that.
Right.
And she can't be wasting time with this guy. It's crazy.
I mean, this is clearly a challenge for Mr. Peanut, and he likes it. He likes that Janae is this chat, like, this is a conquest. I'm going to get this woman.
Well, he realizes he has her hooked.
Yeah.
So all he has to do is just keep pushing at this point.
Yeah.
I agree with you that he is twisting the manipulation now.
Right.
For sure.
Definitely. Oh, do you guys have any other thoughts of Mr. Peanut before we move on?
I don't.
No.
Okay. Let's move on to Slick Nick and Wilson Phillips.
Oh,
we didn't
God.
See too much of
this
them
This was
either.
Incredible.
Honestly, this was my favorite This was my favorite segment.
I have never felt more bad for a person in all my life than that realtor.
I had so many questions. Like, just even them in the driveway, I had 75 questions. Chad. Why is
poor like Nick Chad dressed for a funeral?
He's dressed for a funeral, like, or maybe he's gonna go see Wicked and go to like Carrabba's afterwards.
Nick's
outfit.
First of all, Nick came to this realtor, like, you know, house tour, dressed like Heisenberg from Breaking Bad.
What? That's like his professional man outfit.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not paying for this house, bitch. Like, it's just like, you don't have a job. Like, he's acting like he's the big guy showing up in his fucking five size too big overcoat and his like hat.
She looks like one of the little rascals pretending to be an
it looked, yeah, exactly. It was like a child's version of businessman.
He's so wild. Jennifer,
and this is the second professional worker that they've traumatized with the reveal. Yes. Like in two episodes.
They get so much pleasure out of it too.
Oh, it's my God.
100%.
I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, just shut up. Like, don't tell anybody. Like, it's the fucking baby shop people were just like,
like, girl, I don't get paid enough for this. Can you leave me alone? Jennifer was dressed like she was going to the club while 7 months pregnant.
Yeah.
It was snowing outside, like the dirty snow. And they meet, what was this guy's name? Caleb or
Chad?
Chad. Yeah.
Chad was an icon. Chad's face. I mean, his face several times during this segment was incredible. Like just the subtle facial expressions that he made.
Oh yeah.
As soon as they dropped the bomb that not only are these two women his wives, but they're bringing another wife into the mix, and he's just like,
and a baby.
I have that written several times. Nick's face. I'm sorry, I meant Chad's face. I agree. First of all, my first thought when they were in the driveway was, why is this the point where they're getting a bigger house?
Right.
They've been living in a one bedroom house with all those people for this long. And now just because one more person's coming in, like, you should have done this years ago.
Yeah.
What were they waiting for?
Now they have another stream of income to kick in on rent.
Yeah.
Because Nick's not going to do it. Right. They're so, so wild. Like I said, Chad was doing a lot of eye work that was really, really good. The first thing that gave me the ick other than Nick's fedora was the constant rubbing of Jennifer's belly to be like, we're expecting, we're having a baby. It's like, we can see it. Congratulations. We got it. It's the fruit of your womb.
What is wrong with her? There's something wrong with her, right?
There's gotta be something. I don't know if like maybe accidentally she, I don't know, swallowed a penny like, and it's in her brain or something.
Just like,
yeah,
I can't, when she speaks, I want to like get physical. I just want to shake her or something. It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like the quiet talker from Seinfeld where you're just like, bitch, speak up, please.
Yeah. No, it's very odd.
So they go and tour the house and, you know, it's fine, but then they get to the primary bedroom and April drops the bomb of her doing research, and her research has found her, looking for 12 feet wide beds to accommodate three, potentially four, maybe even five full ass adults. And so the primary bedroom that we're seeing isn't going to cut it because she wants, some table side or bedside tables.
She and it's said not multiple bedside tables. She's like, for all the corners of the bed.
For every corner.
I'm sorry, but
this should be illegal.
I don't even think a 12-foot bed is enough.
No.
I don't think so either.
Nothing is big enough for that many adults to sleep together.
Just the sweat. I mean, look, I take SSRIs, so sometimes I night sweats.
Yeah.
Like, imagine all those people having night sweats.
Imagine not being on the outside. I would go crazy if I was in the middle.
Yeah. It would be.
It is. I can't even believe three of them sleep in a bed together. This, it's just out of control. Like, this is where I draw the line. Like,
that's
like,
where you draw the line.
Must we have this too? Like, I think that's probably the best part about polygamy. You get a night off in your bed all to yourself.
Like, ideally. I mean, yeah, the night sweats must be awful. I wonder if they should have like a, you know, they have like runoff or like a little
gross.
like a thing for water.
Yeah.
So it can like go in the proper place. Like they should have something like that in their bed for the sweat.
It's so gross.
Yeah. All of this is gross, Desi.
I thought the realtor had a good idea. It's like, well, why not just do it in the living room?
Right.
That's the like no bedroom is made for a 12-foot bed. Like
this is absurd. I mean, it's also like, look, if you guys are going to bring in even more people than Danielle, maybe you just have to accept the fact that you can't all sleep in the same room every night.
Yeah, why are we so married to sharing the same bed? Like, why do we have to do that? Why is it such a hard rule?
And if that's about like jealousy, not wanting to be alone one night, then you have issues. Because you're already like, that shouldn't be the part of the problem when they're fucking all these other women. Like the sleeping together at night is the least of the issues.
Yeah. And like, do they have a smush room or like, are you fucking in one corner and then everybody else is sleeping on the other? Like, let's really talk about this. Let's really. And
well, that seems to be an issue with them, right?
Right.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Well. It doesn't seem to be as much of an issue as it should be, but an issue.
Well, they talk about hearing stuff, right? Like they kind of ignore the sounds. How do you ignore that?
I couldn't ignore that.
I have no idea.
No, there's no way.
Why don't they just like retrofit that the basement
right
into their like
that's their dungeon,
and then have like the normal shit going on up top
in the house. Yeah.
Again, this is another cup relationship where I wonder how are they not all having sex with each other?
There's no way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like what?
Nick has definitely suggested it.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Nick has definitely at the very least he suggested it. Maybe, you know, if April and Jennifer have gotten drunk enough.
Yeah. For sure.
They've slept together. But again, this is just me not being able to wrap my head around why this situation would be appealing to anyone, to the woman in the equation.
April and Jennifer definitely banged when Nick took Danielle to that burger place.
Yeah. they had a nice glass of like red blend wine and were like, you know what? Let's get
sitting
silly.
There.
Yeah.
I like how we just saw them sitting with their wine. It's like, we know something happened there.
Right.
They were looking really happy and satisfied. And so, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think they're having sex. I think Tasha's definitely having sex with the women.
Because Tasha, I don't know what else. Okay, we'll talk about them when we get to there, I guess.
Yeah. What do you guys think about, like, Brindle and Steve and April?
Okay.
You think that there's... What's going on there?
Well,
we didn't have them on this episode, but we got to talk about them.
I miss them. I miss seeing Brindle's sad. I mean, Brindle is one of the saddest people I've ever seen on reality TV.
She makes Danielle look on board with the whole process.
Yeah.
No one has never wanted to do this less than Brindle. Like,
right.
She doesn't want this at all.
Right.
And not at all.
To make Danielle look not as confident. Confident is a feat. I mean, I don't know what it, Brindle, it's like, she just does everything in her power to come across as like mopey and like sad and grumpy. And like, she just,
even when she was making the pupusas,
it was
the saddest thing I've ever seen. Like, I don't think I've ever seen her smile.
Not to mention the fact that it has to be soul crushing if you have any sort of self-awareness to realize that you are a 37-year-old woman and you are desperately trying to make friends with your husband's 21-year-old new girlfriend.
Rachel, that's soul crushing.
It could never be me.
I think
begging her for friendship.
Begging her.
You were born after 9/11? Absolutely not.
Here's the thing with Brendel too. I think she went into the situation initially with him and his first wife out of desperation. That wife left and Brendel thought she had won.
Yep.
And now it came back to bite her in the ass.
Absolutely. Yes.
Brindle, so she can't she can't say no because she did it, right?
Right. Because Brindle thought, oh, I'm going to be enough for him now. Now, like, I was okay with this because this guy was like really hot to her. I'm willing to accept the fact that this guy has a wife mm-hmm. to get to fuck him and be in a relationship with him. And then when she left, you're right. She thought she won.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, no, I'm not done finding wives.
Yeah, I think it's like the woman who cheats with a guy and gets him and then gets cheated on, kind of like that whole vibe.
Yeah, totally. Now she's like, wow.
This sucks. What I did to that first wife was terrible. I showed up in my football jersey and ruined a life.
I just like in the next week on for Brindle and Steve, how... Once again, I forget what the son's name is.
Preston.
Preston and Jaden, of course.
That's how I remember because of Britney Spears' kids.
The same names. Preston and Jaden. Preston is like, so how old is April? And Steve is like, she's 21. And Preston is just sort of like, you just know he said in his head, oh, that's only 4 years older than me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's very rare that these second, third wives are not 21 or 22.
Right.
Like, I think only Marcus tends to go with older, like in the 30s. So I guess props for that. But like, they're always like 21 or 22, right? Like
they could have gone to high school together. Like she could have been a senior when he was a freshman.
Yeah.
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 That's sick. That's so sick. And I just would like to say that I love that you guys call her Brindle with no sense of irony. It really warms my heart.
No, really she is Brindle forever.
She is. It fits her.
It really does.
She doesn't have Brenda energy.
No, Brenda is sort of a bad bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have Brendas in my life and she is no Brenda. She's no
Brenda. She's Brindle.
Oh my gosh. Let's move on to Guyliner over in the Philippines.
Oh God.
This is like the longest 4-day vacation I've ever experienced.
Where literally nothing happens.
I literally wrote down, he's only been there for 4 days. First of all, I just have to say, just the fact of traveling to the Philippines, which is a grueling flight, to only spend 4 days there. And I mean, I have family like east of the Philippines, and I've done that journey before, and it is... You're not just in another time zone. You're in a completely different day.
Yeah.
So just the adjustment alone to only spend 4 days there.
Yeah. I would barely like be willing to go to LA and not be there for more than less than 4 days. So for him to like, it must have taken him at least a day and a half to travel.
I mean, people in LA won't even go to the West Side to get laid.
Right.
Like, this is crazy.
Yeah,
that's the state of his desperation.
Is he right all the way to the Philippines?
Yes,
I do enjoy that we have two couples who are in a hybrid 90-day fiance situation.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like yeah. So,
I was laughing too when she called up her she's like, "Oh, I got them like the immigration people."
Right,
she was like on it. She knew exactly what to do.
Yeah, because she's watched 90-day Fiance. Exactly.
Same production company. They're like, yeah, we can easily get you in contact with anybody. Like,
yeah, Matt just Sharp was on it.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, Matt my Sharp. God.
I do really like Ariel. I think she's really pretty and she seems really kind. Obviously, like we discussed earlier, I think Sidian has a good heart. I just agree with Desi that he's like Valium. He's like, he puts you to sleep.
Just his questions. Do you like spending time with me? It's like, no, I don't.
It drives me so crazy. And this proposal really sent me up the wall. So let's get into it. Okay. Yeah.
Can we talk about are we going to go into the pre-prep for the proposal?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, good.
Absolutely. But I would like to say one nice thing, which is that I think the Filipino water is doing Sidian some good because his skin looked fabulous.
He didn't look as vitamin deficient in this episode.
Correct.
He's not an unattractive person.
No.
Like physically, it's all of the other stuff that kind of makes him unappealing, like his personality and his
bracelets.
Like jewelry.
All of that. I actually had a friend text me and sent me a picture of his bracelets. He's like, is this okay? I'm like, you're fine. You're totally fine. It's him. It's all. But yeah, he's like, Guyliner's feeling a lot right now, which is, you know, typical for him. And he's like, you know, I'm just worried that things might not go my way. And Ariel, like, is so invested in this relationship in a way that I cannot comprehend. Like, it's normal. It's, like, well thought out, apparently. She really seems invested in this guy, and she knows that he's nerdy. Like, he is being his full self, and she likes it. She really, really likes it. So, you know, Sidian's got something on one of his pirate sleeves, and that is that he's going to be distracting Ariel with a snorkeling trip while the hotel sets something up for a proposal. Now, set something up for a snorkeling trip. Is that just go out to the dock and we'll...
That's what I thought. I was like, I thought this was going to be like on a boat, like an official snorkeling trip. And they literally just went into the mud, like walked right into the ocean with a snorkel on their face that they got at like Target or something. In her fucking loafers. Jean shorts still.
Yeah.
She was in jean shorts and he was wearing loafers. Loafers in the ocean.
I honestly thought when he said snorkeling trip,
they
were going out on a yacht or a boat this is a very famous reef or I don't know, whatever.
Right.
Like, this is even like some dumb tourist thing like, with other people, maybe with like official snorkeling gear. And no, they're just in this shallow ass water.
They just like walked right in. Just like
they did just walk right in. And I was so confused.
It was
also I was like, is this far enough away so they can set that shit up? Because it seemed like it was right there at the bottom of the stairs.
I feel like they've not left that staircase the entire 4 days that they've been here. So
Right. That's the other thing. What have they even done? Because the only locations we've seen them in have been bed, which they're in bed a lot together in their scenes. The staircase on the beach, those steps or whatever.
The market.
And the market.
Yeah.
But that's it.
The market was the big day out.
The market was their big day out. That was the most exciting day. And obviously I would have been had so much energy in that market. And Sidian's just like, what do you call that? A clan?
And she's like, he's so amazing.
Yeah.
He's so interested in my culture. Just like, okay. I mean, it's good that you see him that way.
Like even when they were eating, this is like a long running grievance of mine. Cause I obviously am a long time 90 Day Fiance watcher.
Yes.
A big grievance of mine is when the Americans go to another country and they're very unimpressed. But especially when they're repulsed by the food.
Yes,
absolutely.
Specifically, somebody who has made me furious for years has been Larry and the pig.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes.
The roast pig, which, by the way, that roast pig looked fucking delicious.
It looked so good.
I mean, it looked so good. It's not like they were serving him intestines or something. Maybe he wasn't used. Like, you eat pork in America.
Or... It's like you take the plate and you eat the rice. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't let them know you hate it or something. Right. Like,
Larry, you work at McDonald's. It's not like you're eating any higher quality meat over here in America. Like,
no.
That moment was really so rude because that family was poor. This was like their big celebratory pig that they had gotten just for him. And he wanted to act like, you're running on Big Macs, sir. Like, really?
Yeah. It was rude.
So rude.
So obviously Sidian didn't do any of that, but I'm just thinking about when they were eating that dinner together, that like kind of romantic dinner outside together. Yeah. And he was just sort of like, it's good. Like, there's no passion. Like, where's the passion with this guy?
He has no passion about anything. Even intimacy is like said in the most delicate tone. Like,
he never, the thing about Sidian that's so bizarre to me is he has like his voice never, like, he has no voice modulation. It's all one tone and one pitch. He's just, like, everything. There's never any change or range in emotions or the way he's
I don't even know how you become that way.
He's just flat. Like, he's flat.
If he like screamed in anger, I'd probably be attracted to him. Like, just anything, just seeing anything would be like, oh, okay. Like
yeah, he wasn't, like,
I don't know if his blood flows enough for him to get an erection. Like, is this a docking situation? Like, wake up, sir. What's
if you
going
told
on
me here? He was a vampire, I would believe it.
Like, honestly,
I have a theory. Okay. Now, all the bracelets are putting pressure on his pressure points, ooh, and he's not getting good circulation, ooh, through his blood, and that's why he's so like lethargic and low energy.
He's not eating, ooh, some vitamin or nutrient, and the bracelets.
Yeah.
Or he has some sort of metal poisoning from the bracelets.
Ooh.
Because
yeah,
they've been on for, he's had those bracelets on since 2003.
Definitely.
Wouldn't it be amazing if they took the braces on and he got like color to his skin through 3 inches, like gained 50 pounds of muscle.
He did a backflip all of a sudden. Yeah, yeah. It would
be amazing. He's been cursed by someone, clearly, right?
He's under a spell.
Yeah.
He's cursed by me. Okay. Finally, we get to the proposal, because you couldn't possibly snorkel in like ankle deep gray water. So that was out. And okay. So then he decides to call Squeaky, right? At this point, he at one point says something about how the reason why he's proposing so quickly is because of outside pressure. When did that happen? Because the only pressure I've seen was like Squeaky's mom being like, get the fuck out of this cult, please, daughter. Like,
yeah,
nobody's pressuring him to continue this.
I think the outside pressure he's talking about is realizing everyone was dunking on him in his first season with Squeaky, oh, that he couldn't find anyone locally. So he's like, I'll show them. We'll show them.
Or maybe Tasha is really mean to him off camera.
Yeah.
And she's like, get your dick game. One point.
I would believe that too, that Tasha was like behind the scenes berating him every single day.
Yeah.
Doing little digs.
She's like, I got the waitress interested. You blew it. Like,
right. Oh my gosh. He's so, so wild. So Ariel actually reveals in a confessional that she and Guyliner had said, I love you, the night before. And she's like really stoked about the relationship. So he then FaceTimes Squeaky and she puts on the creepiest voice. She's like, did you do it yet?
Yeah.
It's like, it was like she was asking if she killed her dad or something, right? Like, did you commit the murder for hire yet?
I think that Sidian would carry something out like that for her if she asked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're like months away from this happening.
I just wrote down FaceTiming your live-in girlfriend before you propose to your sister wife. I just again, and but Tasha, like we said before, she is crying tears of joy.
Yeah, it's bizarre. The tears on this show always irritate me.
Well,
like I'm never moved by them.
We're gonna get into that with another couple soon.
Seriously. Okay, so now we get to the proposal. And I'm just going to say what he said to her.
Oh, God.
Okay. So he gets down. They're like walking past the little paper bags of candles and they get down to the rocks and he looks at her and he goes, do you enjoy your time with me? Okay. And that's question one of several. He goes on to ask her, do you believe that I will always do what's needed to make you happy? Do you believe that I will always help you to pursue your dreams? Do you love me? Okay, don't be quizzing me, bitch. First of all, I thought we all were on the same page about proposals. Like, you're supposed to be pouring into me and how much you love me, how much you love our relationship.
Right.
And now we're playing 20 questions and I have to like prove that I love you.
Also, he's already asked her these questions
so many times every day, every
and
45
and the other
minutes,
thing is her. If he doesn't know the answer to these questions, why is he proposing?
Exactly. Exactly.
Not to mention the fact that this is the most time in person, or the only time in person that Sidian has, I guess, when Tasha, but
Has he met her before? I was confused.
I don't think he's ever met her in person because Tasha was the one who went to the Philippines for work.
Yeah. And he has just had an online or like a FaceTime relationship.
Yeah, that's Tasha's sort of rationalization of it is she's like, well, technically you've only known each other 4 days, but you do have a really good online foundation.
Right.
To which I say, as is the case in all the most of the 90 Day Fiance situations, there is a big difference from being with somebody and when they're on vacation and living with someone day in and day out. And dealing with all their quirks and all their flaws and all your flaws.
And all their other wives.
And all their other wives. There is a big difference. So I don't know how much of a foundation you actually have. But again, Sidian is desperate.
Well, and it's true because Ariel is just having this whatever their version of a, you know, romantic 4-day trip with him.
Yeah.
That is not living with Tasha and him in a plural marriage day.
And the
day
kids.
By, you know what I mean?
Like, and the kids.
Oh, right. I forgot about the kids. Yeah. I mean, it's bizarre, but I am happy that he wore his favorite rose shirt.
Honestly, the rose shirt was my favorite thing he's worn so far.
Yeah. It was like, you know, he got it for the proposal.
Yep.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, yeah. Oh my God. Where do men get shirts like that? I have no idea.
I want to know where he gets them.
Honestly, no idea.
There has to be like a Shein for men.
Or is there like a new version of Chess King? Like,
was it an Untuck It or what? Whatever those called. Yeah. Oh my gosh. So he gets down on one very thin knee and is like, will you marry me? And she's like, oh my gosh, are you serious? And then she says, of course. And then cue the royalty-free acoustic guitar playing in the background. And Guy Leonard feels amazing because finally he's been able to nab this absolute smoke show with a ring. Did she put the ring on the wrong hand?
Yeah. She didn't know which finger to put the ring on. I was obviously very interested in this ring. I'm always interested in what kind of ring these people get each other. This
yeah.
is clearly not a real diamond because that no. looks... Because the size of it, it looks like 2 carats, right? That is not.
It's giving moissanite. It's definitely
giving moissanite. It is giving moissanite, which there's nothing wrong with that. But it was no. Like, damn, dude.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
I mean, yeah, I'd rather have a non-diamond ring than a fake, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I would, you know, be careful what you wish for, because if you're wanting to marry Guy Leonard, you could get like some sort of like, you
know, onyx, an ankh,
yeah, something from the Neverending Story or yeah. something like that. Yeah.
But I have never wanted someone to say no more to a proposal because it would have been high comedy.
So funny. Like, stop that asking me these questions.
When she asks, sometimes when people ask a question like, are you serious? I feel like they're stalling.
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, is she stalling? And then of course it was like, no.
She said yes. And then they immediately call Tasha.
Immediately.
He is trained.
I think Ariel did ask him, like, do you have a speech prepared? Like, was my proposal? And he was like, no, I've said all I wanted to say. Great. So yeah, they FaceTime Tasha, And I love that Ariel's always like, I wonder if she's going to be awake. And she answers on the first ring, like half a ring.
Oh my God. In full makeup. Like she's like sitting there.
I'm convinced that Tasha doesn't sleep. I think she's one of those people that just doesn't sleep ever.
Yeah.
And is always the same, like keel. She's not tired, but she's not awake. She just is.
Or she is asleep and the phone rings and she bolts up immediately. Wide awake.
Yeah.
Like she's a light sleeper. When the phone rings, she is on it. Like
she's never groggy.
It's crazy. I would love a super cut of them saying, do you think she'll be awake? Immediately pick up like 15 times.
Yeah, she's been on the FaceTime the entire time. In my mind, she's like the girl from The Ring. You know, when they do the like the interrogation room footage and she's just been standing in the corner with her hands with her head to the back. Yeah, that's what I imagine
that's
she's doing.
Tasha.
Oh my God. Let's go. Do you guys have any final thoughts about Ariel and Guy?
No. I'm curious what their timeline is. I wonder if they'll go on 90 Day Fiancé now and do to complete the crossover.
I would love to see that.
Because like, what is their next step, right?
Right.
When does she move in?
This felt like the wrap up of their story.
Yeah.
At least for this season. It felt like we're not going to see, because the show is seeking sister wife. Maybe they'll graduate to sister wife.
Right. Although they could go into a Roberta Garrick situation.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
I mean, maybe this is part of the expansion of the 90 Day universe, as Discovery Plus put it.
Yeah.
I would like that. So let's do our pièce de résistance, if you will. Joel, his nipples, Roberta, the whole gang. Oh, they're all here.
Can I just say this opening scene? I mean, every scene where Garrick, aka Joel Osteen, is in infuriates me.
Yeah.
But this infuriated me particularly because the opening scene is Garrick and Roberta in bed in the Airbnb, and Garrick has finally learned how to say good morning,
Rachel,
in Portuguese after how many years? How many years?
At least two.
How have they not learned any basic Portuguese at this point? It is crazy.
And he was struggling to say
struggling.
Struggling. Like he had just learned it that morning.
Yeah.
He had just asked her to tell him that morning.
Right.
It was crazy.
Good morning. Thank you for putting, because that was so infuriating. Like how the fuck? Because all he thinks about is impregnating her.
That's it.
Ugh,
he doesn't see, he does not see her as a full person.
No.
Even though he's in love with her, or he thinks this is love based on his reactions to her. I don't understand how you can respect somebody and truly love somebody and not even be proactive in showing the tiniest bit of interest in that person.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that going on in this episode where it's like you're just finding this out. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Also, he was like, his nipples were so hard.
They're so gross.
So
he
hard.
Has the hardest nipples I've ever seen.
And they were so hard that they were like straining to be released from his body, to the point where like his areolas were a totally different color. Like his nipples were white. And his
they
look
like little
were, like,
pencil erasers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's got pencil eraser nipples for sure.
Go ahead.
So yeah, Danielle, Bert and Garrick, we learned in the last episode, they're not allowed to be, quote, intimate with each other.
Well, okay, let's talk about this.
I need to talk about this.
I feel like there's a lot of miscommunication happening because I feel like Large Wife said that it was just, I feel like she thinks it's sufficient to just be like, don't try for a baby. And she thinks that they're not going to be smashing, which is a very different thing. There are a lot of us who are not trying for babies, Large Wife. I don't know if you know there's a real world out here. We're all doing a lot of things and not trying for babies.
She really is a sweet summer child. And that was such a perfect example of it, that she thought that you're right, that that would be enough.
Well, because she knows Garrick doesn't pull out.
Right.
So sex is always that way.
And
him.
You know what? I don't think Garrick can even physically pull out. I think he's so I think that this is a man when he's fucking besides Bert, before Bert, he had only ever slept with one woman before, and that was Danielle. And I just think because he's so Christian, like he is so Christian that he's like, pull out. No, you have to impregnate.
I wouldn't be surprised if he comes right before he even enters.
I bet he's that so happens excited. All the time. I bet it happens all the time, especially with Bert. But there is no way that him and Bert that night weren't at least like sucking each other.
Oh, come something, on, Rachel.
Something weird happened because Bert's description of their night was so chilling. Chilling is chilling. The word. She says a lot of things I was not expecting. First, she says that the night before, she started off by giving Joel a massage, which, like, puke, okay?
Yeah.
And then she says something happened that had never happened before, and they made love in an entirely different way.
Anal.
I know. That's the Christian. That's the Christian don't have a baby.
Right.
Right. She said that there was an exchange of glances, sweet words, affection, and attention. But it was butt stuff.
It was butt totally. Stuff.
Because he, for she's, who, got though? A, she's got a for nice who? Fat ass. He wants to get up in that.
And he convinced her that that was like what Jesus Christ wanted.
I've never heard anal described so poetically, though. Right.
There were
little glances.
Exchanges. Oh my gosh. Like,
it was revolting.
I was thinking like cone heads. You know where they put the like flower crowns on the heads and they would just touch each other?
Yes. I mean, it was
important.
I had to rewind this part because I was like, wait, you guys did what?
And I've never wanted to know more.
And poor Danielle is like
in her bed alone.
In her bed once again, in her bed alone. I bet she hasn't even fucked her own husband, Garrick.
No,
it's been forever. Years.
It's been years since they've had sex.
Right? She'd be even willing to try anal anything to get.
Oh,
she's probably offered anal to him.
Oh yeah.
And he started crying because he said, "No, that reminds me of Bert."
Right. No, she knows that, look, Bert is anal girl now.
Yeah.
So she could never replicate that.
Danielle never going to happen. Just
Bert's revenge for Leah.
Right.
She's like, yeah, I'm going to give him anal.
I'm going to give him something you can never give him, sister.
I also hate when Bert crawls into bed with Danielle.
I do too. Oh, I do too.
It is so gross.
Well, it always looks like they're about to kiss.
Yeah.
And once again, let me reiterate, that's the only way I could like picture being okay with this is if we were all equally like having sex with each other at some point. But when it's like, no, you just have to let your husband fuck this other woman.
Yeah.
And that's it. But the sexual chemistry between Bert and Danielle, I don't know what that's all about. I don't know what that is.
It's very palpable. And you're right. She like slides into bed and is like, how are you, sister? Are you okay? Is your heart okay? And yeah, it does seem like they're always on the brink of making out.
They always look like that. And just Danielle, I mean, this is like, she's like an abused child, Danielle. She's like so devastated in bed, lonely, and just, I'm so sad. And then Bert comes in and she's like,
No, she's like, some touch, a human touch.
Yeah.
Like, she's so desperate for human touch. She'll even take it from the woman fucking her husband.
Because
her husband doesn't care about her
at all.
And Danielle is trying. She is wearing leopard shorts. She has shirts on that are open in the back. Like, she's trying to be sexier.
She's
and
got
it's not
the
working.
Longest extensions in the planet.
Right. Because she's tried to give herself a glow up this season.
Definitely.
But
she's
still,
trying.
The eyebrows. Just go to a brow bar.
Ugh. I would love to take like five ladies from reality TV to a brow consultant, and she would be at the top of my list.
Because she's not unattractive.
No.
And I actually think she's more attractive than Roberta. Like,
yeah,
I think her style is bad and her eyebrows are bad, but she's like pretty. Like,
yeah,
she doesn't have to deal with this guy. Like, I mean, it's crazy.
A good shaped eyebrow can change your life and your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens to me all the time.
I just feel so bad for Danielle. Like,
I do too. Was it on the podcast with Jake? Was that the episode were you guys talking about how, what would be the best case scenario for Danielle, like for her to win?
No, that was me, for her to get into like a weight competition. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Like a bodybuilding.
Her getting really into lifting. That's where, that was last week. You talked about that.
CrossFit, bodybuilding. Yeah.
All of that's the next step for like some kind of indiscriminate Christian person to get really into CrossFit, right?
Yeah.
It's a natural progression.
Every episode, I just think about like what would be the most effective way for her to stick it to Garrick and to make, to turn the, flip the tables.
Yeah, we all want it.
Because I want that.
I think that's why that was so satisfying with Leah and so disappointing when she kind of bails on it.
Yeah.
But I think the thing with Danielle is like, one thing that always gives me hope is like, she's divorced from Garrick at least. So she won't have to deal with that. She can just fucking leave.
Right.
Like that step's done. Right. Like,
right.
I mean, that was for me the moment where I was like, Danielle, like
this, think about what you're doing here.
Like that was, once that was done, she's in trouble. Like there's no going back. And he's just, it's like, I've never seen a couple that just can't break up more in my life. Like,
well, other than Mary and Cody from Sister Wives. Yeah. A very similar situation with the divorce and all of
that.
It's
like they just can't do it, right?
They can't do it. They've been together since they were kids.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm.
It just, Danielle.
It's like, how much are you going to go through before you just admit you're not going to be together?
Right. So
there's no chemistry between them whatsoever. It's like anytime she talks to him, he looks at her like he's never met her before. It's very strange. Like there's not even, you would think that even there would be like some base level of familiarity just knowing each other for so long, but it's like they're strangers all the time.
They're not even friends. No. Like it's crazy. And it's like, if I saw my husband or whatever crying constantly for another woman, I would be out of there. Like that's a deal breaker for me. Like
I would be livid.
I was like so shocked because I thought we had gotten through an entire episode where Garrick didn't cry. And then it happened. And I was like, there it is. But he's constantly crying.
I've never seen someone cry more, like a man. Sorry, like I guess it's sexist or whatever, but you rarely see that.
It's just, it's also shocking. It's also just the fact that, like you said, that he's crying for another woman and Danielle's just like, this is what I've signed up for and it's totally fine. I want more of her sister-in-law and brother who seem to be like the only people she has in her life who sort of at least who the most see this situation for what it is.
Because Danielle is not a bad person.
No.
Like the closest she came to the dark side was with Leah.
And it was
and that was very satisfying because they just deserve it. Like,
and she didn't even go. She didn't even
She didn't really do anything.
No.
She just kind of pushed it. But like, I want her to break out and ruin Garrick's life.
Me
like
too.
That's the end we all need. For this show. Here's the other thing with his crying. I don't even know what he's crying about.
Right.
I really don't know why he's crying. Like nothing has happened. Nothing has been said. He's just weeping.
Yeah.
For no reason. He's weeping.
It's so icky and annoying. But back to the conversation between Roberta and Large Wife. Large Wife does this thing that like really drives me crazy, which is she speaks in broken English because she thinks that Large Wife or that Roberta will understand her.
Annoying. Yeah, it's so offensive. Broken English and kind of an accent.
Yeah.
Heart.
Exactly.
Cry. Just like you're talking to like Coco or something with sign language.
Exactly. So what did she say? So Roberta asked if Large Wife's heart is okay. And she's like, you know, it's just been hard distance. You, Garrick, sad a lot. He's sad a lot without you around. And so
I almost wish she was like weeping. Like, did a mean imitation of Garrick crying?
She's the worst. She says in a confessional that she's like really anxious to have this big conversation because her gut's telling her that Roberta's like not telling the truth. She's actually not going to come to America and she just wants to hear it from Roberta. So then Large Wife says, ticket, Book the ticket. No more separate, please. Promise. Ticket, no.
Also, again, another person who has not learned an iota of Portuguese.
And you can't even figure out the ticket conversation.
Right.
A few lines. We need to buy the ticket this week or everything's off. Like
she could learn that on the plane. This on Duolingo.
Yeah. Also, exactly. It is so frustrating when we spend a few minutes on them trying to figure out the translation app and him holding it up to the phone. I'm just like, do we really need to watch this? Like, can you just edit it?
Keep pressing the button because the translator timed out and does that like beep noise, and then you have to start all over again.
It's so irritating.
The best translator app was Jihoon and Devin.
For sure.
Theirs never worked at all. Even for basic shit.
Well, and sometimes we're like, that's not what they said.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Jihoon's translator was like actively ruining this relationship, and I loved it.
Yeah, but they actually have like an in-person translator.
Oh yeah,
Marcella could not be more disgusted with the Merrifields and this whole situation. I love Marcella.
Yeah, they're always trying to be polite too. They're like, it's not for me. Like, I don't approve of this.
Yeah, she's like, I wouldn't do this situation. Marcella is dutifully just going along like with this whole journey. I hope she's getting paid well for this.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah. Is she getting like a daily rate?
Well, how do you hire a translator for 4 days? Is she always there? Did they just have her on that van trip? Or like, I guess she picked them up from the airport too.
Yeah.
Is she at the Airbnb? Like, what's going on here?
It's almost like a tour guide slash.
Also, they rented a pretty like big Airbnb and they took first class tickets to get there.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I was wondering, like, how much money does Garrick have?
I think he's doing quite well for himself.
I think so, because they just built that huge house. Like,
yeah, that's right.
There's a lot of money in real estate, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I hear. So later, Bert takes them around to where she grew up. And just this whole thing, it was like so frustrating because there were a lot of things at play. First of all, they're going around the neighborhoods and they're going to like North Rio, which is where she's from. And they're driving past these slums and, you know, they're like, oh my God, I cannot believe that she lived like that. First of all, she didn't live in the slums. That would be one. You guys were driving past them. She didn't live there. Secondly, at one point, Bert said that, yeah, her neighborhood is now less safe. But first of all, she didn't live there anymore. She just grew up in the neighborhood.
Right.
At the time that she lived there, it was a lot safer and she could like run around with her friends and do whatever. It's not safe now, and that is unfortunate, but they're acting like she was like a child with like bugs on her face and like they can't believe that she like lived here and whatever. And I think she lived like a perfectly fine life. I don't think it was really that bad. They're just acting like it was that bad. And also, like, you can be poor and happy. It's fine.
Also,
you don't have to be miserable.
Once again, a big, like, Garrick and Danielle not even knowing this person's background.
Right.
Just being shocked when they're driving through this. Garrick literally says, oh, wow, geez, those houses.
There's a lot of poverty here.
Huh? Were you surprised that they didn't go to where she lives now?
I was surprised they didn't see her childhood home.
Well, I can see showing where she grew up and all of that, but they didn't even go. It's like, where does she live now?
Where are you living now? Yeah.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's weird.
I wanted to know why didn't they go to like, oh, this is the shopping center I go to. This is where I buy groceries. Like, just day to day.
This is how I spend all the money you send me.
Why didn't she take them around to those places? I was very surprised we didn't see that either. It was like we didn't even really go into the towns. It was like we just saw everything from the freeway.
Yeah, it was very bizarre. And like I said, I can see that being part of it. But to not go where she lives now is very odd to me. Like,
because I was curious about that.
Yeah, what does she do? What restaurants does she go to? Like,
right.
I mean, there's just a lot about her life now we don't know.
Right.
That would have shown.
Yeah.
And you're not going to Rio again for a while. Like, why not get it out of the way?
Right.
It's very weird.
Yeah, you might never go there again, frankly.
Totally.
Yeah, it's very, very strange that we didn't see where she's living now. I hated that Large Wife was like, if she's just so positive, and I now looking at where she's from, I just can't imagine how she could be so positive. It's like, what do you want her to be sad that she grew up poor? Like, what do you want her to do? They're be just, miserable?
They have no concept. It's like those people, like if you grow up poor, which I definitely had those moments growing up, you don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you can be very happy, like you said before. It's just weird. And it's like definitely one of those things where these Americans go to these other countries and are just completely like you said, disgusted with the food. And like, do you know what I mean? It's like, It's very weird.
Danielle and Garrick particularly seem like very sheltered people. I don't even know how much traveling they've done within the US.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. I mean, even when they were in LA, like, Garrick, why are you wearing that cowboy boots?
Oh, when they were in LA, I was obsessed because I was like, where are they even going? Like, where are they staying?
Could you imagine seeing a guy like that? Like, you're in like West Hollywood and seeing him in that outfit.
I feel like they're like the type of people who are like, ooh, we're gonna stay in Marina Del Rey.
I think they did. I think they stayed in Westchester by the airport.
Yeah.
I really think that they got some, like, I don't even remember what the
Airbnb was nice.
Oh yeah, they were but I think they stayed by the airport. Like, yeah, we're gonna stay by the airport because it's convenient.
But it's still near the beach, like you can get a, like in Westchester or Playa del Rey,
but
or whatever.
I don't even think they have enough curiosity between the two of them.
Oh, no.
These are not curious people. These aren't people who are curious about how other people live.
When they travel, they stay in their Airbnb.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they do.
You know what? Desi and I just talked about this news story on our mini episode last week about how Italy got Domino's booted, like kicked, like Domino's tried to go to Italy and how I said that, like, if you go to Domino's when you're in Italy, like you should be banned from the country.
Right.
I think Garrick and Danielle go to Domino's when they're in Italy.
Yeah.
I think those are the people who do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I think definitely. You're right. I would be surprised if they've even been to like the bigger towns in Colorado.
Well, they clearly like comfort, what they know, which is why they're still together.
Yeah, and why he keeps wearing those cowboy boots. Yeah. They can't possibly change.
Those red pants and like that one confessional outfit he has is just the worst.
Yeah.
The sweater.
Awful.
If you guys had to be in one of the families, which one would you choose?
What do you mean? As a wife or
as a wife?
I would pick Sidian.
Me too.
So I could bully him at least.
I would pick Sidian and Tasha because they're obviously not religious, and I feel like they're
more liberal. I think
Sidian wouldn't pressure you to have sex with him. I feel like you would be able to just not fuck him.
He is a true male feminist.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
I feel like you could be married to him and just be like, you know what? I'm going to have sex with this. You'd be like, all right.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Like,
how does this affect our relationship?
There would be a loophole. There would be loopholes to find. If you had to be in a relationship.
You could definitely dominate Sidian and make your life happy, I think.
Yeah.
For sure. Without hurting him. He'd be happy with whatever.
Yeah, he does. And like we said before, he's not a bad guy.
No.
Yeah.
No. That's why I think you'd be easy to convince him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what Tasha's doing.
I love, Desi, that you just skirted past ever being like happy and normal in a relationship. You're like, who can I manipulate?
Well, if I have to pick these guys, I'm not getting one of these guys over me. I'm not going to be ruled by Nick. No. Are you fucking kidding? And like Garrick and what's the guy with Brindle? He's out of the question. Those two are out of the question, right?
Yeah.
Like
Steve and Brindle. Ugh.
Like they're out of the question.
Because imagine being around Brindle all day.
Also, I don't really care about boats. I'm not going on boats all day.
No.
Like, that's not a thrill ride for me.
No.
Yeah.
Like, Brindle's clearly impressed. But like,
ooh, he has a boat.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, so back to Large Wife. So they're like, finally Roberta's mom comes over, and they've been like really hyping up this conversation, and for like different reasons. We're not really sure what the thing is. Like, they're kind of kicking around, do she and Bert have a super close relationship, and that's why Bert's hesitant to leave? Is she sick? Like, what's happening here? So she comes over, and she's like, she's really into a Large Wife. She's calling her beautiful. She tells Garrick she loves him. Well, that was a lot for me. But they've met before, like once in Mexico, like a year ago. So they sit down, and basically once Roberta's in America and they get married, she has to stay in America for at least 6 months so they can like transfer her visa or whatever. So they need to make sure that this is what Bert wants to do, because like she's kind of stuck in America for a little bit, right, if she's gonna go. So Roberta says that she's like a little bit apprehensive about the conversation with her mom, because her mom has expectations and she's not afraid to speak up, which I thought was an interesting thing to say. But
I wanted more from the mom. I thought she was pretty accommodating. I am happy she finally gave Danielle a compliment. Yeah, that's the like that's the she only compliments Danielle has gotten in forever.
It's just so stunning to me to see somebody that's that excited to see Garrick.
Right.
Oh, God.
I mean, she was like, my son, I love you.
That's what makes me think you. Roberta might be scamming him. That's my fantasy. Like, maybe they are getting money from him. And the mom is sort of in on it.
I am still so confused as to why, like, Roberta did. Is it just purely her mom, like, that she didn't? Because, like, she got her visa approved, but she hasn't gone yet.
Yeah, what's the delay? I mean, I know she did get COVID at some point.
But that was, like, the big storyline.
Yeah. How,
oh, we're worried she's not coming.
Right. And Danielle was so worried about it. It makes me feel like there's things we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get that from the show, this fear. And I was like, is this Danielle's wishful thinking?
Do you think maybe it's possible that obviously Danielle has like some kind of Stockholm syndrome, but do you think it's possible that she thinks if Bert and Garrick were to break up, that Garrick would just be like, eh, you know what? Let's just start from scratch. Danielle, bye. We're already divorced.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's her fear about the baby.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah, like fear about she the baby. Thinks once the baby and the baby is in Brazil, she's out. Like, he'll move to Brazil.
But I think even she thinks, like, she doesn't want to rock the boat of even Garrick and Roberta breaking up. Because then that would change the whole dynamic of the relationship. Like, Garrick would be so heartbroken. He would just be like, Danielle, I can't. I don't want to be with anyone. I just need to be alone.
Right. No, I do think she's in a constant back and forth.
Yeah.
About every decision she makes.
Because this is her in complete desperation trying to make her husband happy and doing anything, even to the detriment of herself. And if he were to be unhappy with, you know, which would happen if he broke up with Bert.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, keep your enemies closer kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's also, there could be a little bit of, I did all this and he still dumped me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just like, it's humiliating.
Right.
That she went that far.
Like, I really do think that Garrick would break up with Danielle if Bert broke up with him.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because then there's no point to having Danielle around.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I could see both ways. Like, I can see why she's constantly like thinking through what is my best option.
She wants to keep him happy because she can't keep him happy, just her.
But there's also an element where she might think, I'm going to go along with everything and hope it fails. Too right, mm-hmm. Like, so I look like I tried,
right?
I don't know, like, I can go so many ways with her because she's really hard to read sometimes.
She's confusing.
I mean, I know she's upset and devastated, but it's like, I don't get what her goals are here necessarily.
That's why next week looks so juicy.
Right.
I just want to know the truth from her. I would love to have confessionals from her where she tells us how she's really feeling.
Right.
Because I just want to know. I want to hear it from her.
Yeah.
How she honestly feels.
Because she lets a lot of it slip. And obviously with her just watching her, we can tell that this is a woman who is in pain and very lonely in this relationship.
Right.
But, you know, it's like, that's the thing that's so fucking irritating with their relationship is that I don't have a problem with people having being poly or people having you want to have a multiple wives situation and everybody's happy, fine, whatever. I don't care. But I think everyone in the situation should be completely on board. And Danielle this was not her idea.
No, and her extensions are being dragged along by whatever, you know, horny vibes that he's got and whatever he wants to do and whoever he wants to impregnate. And it's a shame.
The thing is, if you're this lonely, what's the point of even being in this marriage?
Right.
Like the whole point of being marriage is you have this companion who's by your side. And even if it's a plural marriage, it's supposed to be all of you are a family, and she's constantly left out.
She's on the back burner 100% of the time. Garrett could not give two shits about her. This is purely him using Christianity to try and justify the fact that he's mad that he has spent his whole adult life only fucking one woman. And he's trying to find a loophole to fuck someone else.
I think that part of the reason I feel like he might stay is this wanting to look like a good Christian, not to getting rid of your wife. Right.
Right.
So that's only reason I see him staying.
Thing is, I think he's like trying. I think he's like waiting it out with Danielle and he's hoping that she'll be the one to break.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. When they had this conversation before they went to Brazil about like, hey, do you mind not knocking Bert up while we're in there? They're having this conversation about like, well, what if she gets pregnant and she's still in Brazil? What if she's still in Brazil and she has the baby? And he's like, well, I'll come back to America sometimes.
Right. Right. It didn't even occur to him that she was saying, I'm telling you this, I'm asking you this because I'm worried that you'll take off to Brazil and you won't come back. And he's like, completely says the thing that's her fear.
Yeah. To reassure her.
His mind is set up for he and Bert's future. Like whatever kids he had with Danielle, like that's the old life. That's the old Garrick.
No, he has extreme family annihilator vibes, but he's going to do it emotionally.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's really like, I think honestly, his best case scenario is that like he knocked up Bert. And then she has a baby. She can't come to America for whatever reason. Then he like goes down for the birth and loses his passport. And oh, well, sorry, guys.
Right.
He's annihilating himself out of his own family.
He's willing to give up his own kids.
Yeah. I feel so bad for those sons.
Yeah, I do
like,
too.
What must they be thinking?
They're such an afterthought.
Yeah, it's crazy. Also, I'm curious why he and Danielle have not had a child again, if he's so desperate. It's not that I care about children, but I just feel bad for these women who might not be able to have children. And this is what led some of their guys to find second wives.
Right.
I think he's doing that quiverful thing where it's like that extremist Christian guy thing where they just want to populate, they want to spread their seed around.
Right. But he's failing at that because he should have 10 kids by now, at least.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he's on the slow road to quiverful.
He's not getting his garden in heaven anytime soon.
But why not with Danielle? Why haven't they had more kids? I'm just curious. Because that makes it even sadder to me if she can't have kids. And this is what sort of triggered this, third wife thing.
Yeah. That would be probably the most likely theory, honestly. And it's very sad.
Like with April too, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. What's going on there?
Yeah. Yeah. Like why do they never have kids?
Why is it the grossest men who need to spread their seed?
A question for the ages.
Like you're never seeing George Clooney trying to spread his seed or someone like that. Like
we've got our worst soldiers on the line and it's not great.
That has the ugliest men leading the way.
So I don't know if like what if you guys were able to see what Roberto's mom said, but I couldn't because TLC decided to put the biggest The Family Chantel Chyron right over her words. I couldn't see a thing. Like, what the fuck did she say? Like,
I was watching on Discovery Plus. The one thing that stood out to me, I mean, she was supportive of them, but the one thing that stood out to me was that she was very sad about Roberta leaving, but she would get through it by taking a lot of sedatives.
I did get that part.
So she's going to hang out with Sidian.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. She said she was going to take a lot of sedatives to get through it, but she was in general just like so happy to see Danielle and Garrick.
Yeah. They kept building this up like it was going to be this difficult conversation. And in a way, it couldn't have gone better for them. Like, she was completely on board. She did the sedative line, like, so a little bit of like guilty stuff, but nothing like major at all. Like,
nobody laughed at the sedative joke. And that was a real shame.
That was such a shame. No, but yeah, Garrick, here's the other creepy thing about Garrick. This is a man who has zero sense of humor. I have never seen him laugh. I have never seen him make a joke. I don't think he gets jokes. I don't think he gets sarcasm. He's bizarre.
His only emotion is weeping.
It's weeping and horny.
It's weeping, horny, and then he just flatlines.
Yeah. I don't think he would be able to recognize a joke or recognize sarcasm.
And he actually has like a uncanny valley look. Like, he doesn't almost look like a real person to me. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone who looks like him.
He does seem like he was created in like an AI generator.
Right. There's just something about him that seems plastic.
He's like Will Michaela's dad.
He's like a robot who has one mission, and that is to impregnate Bert.
Yeah.
And he will do whatever it takes to do that.
Yeah.
Like, that is his mission. He cannot deviate from that mission.
At all. He even says it to Roberta's mom. He was like, yeah, I will love you like I'll love a son or daughter. And it's like, we weren't even talking about that, Garrick. Shut up. We're focused.
Well, the thing with Roberta and Garrick is I don't even get what they have together.
Right.
Like, Danielle, I don't see anything with him and Danielle, but I don't even see it with him and Roberta, like outside of the sex stuff, maybe. But like,
it's like purely lust.
But what's her angle? Do you know what I mean? Like, what is she getting out of this? That's the question for all of these women. Like, what are you getting out of this?
Right.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Maybe she's had a string of bad relationships and this is the first guy that's ever been devoted to her.
And I mean, I think coming to America for a lot of people is a big thing. Like, for whatever reason.
Yeah. Roberta has like a Taylor Swift fan energy. And by that, she seems like very romantic and very whimsical and like hopeful. So maybe like a guy like Garrick is good for her.
She sees him as a Prince Charming.
I do think Rachel is right. Like, I have seen women in my life who have a string of bad relationships and they fall for the first sort of unthreatening man that comes along, even if he's just completely boring and that relationship will eventually end too. But it's like a very appealing to people who have gone through some bad times with men.
Yeah. And the first guy who actually shows her, like, maybe she didn't get a ton of like affection and attention from other relationships that she had because, like I said, he's devoted to her. He's constantly wondering what she's doing. Let's call Bert. Let's talk to Bert. And
Like, he's always wondering, but he literally has no interest in her life.
No.
Like, that's no, what's bizarre. Right. Like,
no, that's why it seems like it's purely driven by this like animal lust to her.
It is so weird to me. Like, if you really were interested, you'd be like, show me where you live. Show me where, like, I want to see what you do every day. Like, because let's go. It's just like, there's no interest there.
Because he's a shallow human being. He has no depth right. to him. He doesn't care. He's very selfish. He's very selfish. He's self-centered. He does not give a fuck really about her. He right. gives a fuck about satisfying his own needs and desires. Yeah. And he's
like, you wouldn't even Google the town that she lived in just to like, oh my see God. What it was about.
I would have Googled everything.
You're right.
Day one.
Yeah. I just don't know. I just can't fathom not having any sort of real interest in somebody's
it is
life
bizarre
that you supposedly are in love with.
Or just interest in general. Like, what is he interested in? Like, it's just like, he has no interest at all. Like, it's just like seeing his family in that fucking trailer when they were like living in the trailer. It was just like this making dinner together, but it was like the most boring. It was like up there with that green bean thing that the Wilson Phillips were making, like that dinner they were making.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes I'm just like, how do these people connect? Like sometimes the women have the more interesting relationships.
Yeah.
It's just, it's bizarre.
I think at least the difference between the Wilson Phillips relationship is that at least they seem like they probably like get drunk and have fun together.
Oh, they have fun. They make jokes. Like,
they make jokes together. They obviously fuck a lot, and they see something in Nick. They think he's very smart.
Compared to Garrick, Nick is like a catch.
Oh, he's like the life. Yeah. Nick is the life of the party.
He's a fun guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be in his bed with four other women, but like, I can see how hanging out with him might be fun. Like,
yeah, of course.
Garrick would not be fun.
He's just the most unappealing person top to bottom to me.
Just all over.
And he's a monster.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you live like that. How do you live your life being so boring?
He's so...
Like, what are you living for?
Like, what... I think that's why he weeps whenever he sees Roberta, because that's the one thing in his life that gives him any sort of like emotion or joy, and he doesn't know how to process it, so he just weeps.
Yeah, I guess, because like, I live to get these jokes off, you know, like, so if I wasn't laughing, then what is there?
Me too.
And how are you in a situation like this not cracking really dark jokes? Right,
right.
Hey, it's Danielle.
Right.
If I was Danielle, I'd be making jokes all the time, like, about it probably.
Yeah.
I mean, he would never be with me, but
no. Overall, the mom was very supportive.
Yeah,
that's why I feel like she's like, I want my daughter in this better situation or whatever. Like, there seems something sort of self-sacrificing about her letting Roberta go.
And even Danielle starts crying during this conversation.
Promising
there was too
to be
much crying.
Sister. Yeah. I'll be a good sister to you. Whatever.
They always say that these people who are in these relationships on this show, they always talk about like when they're trying to bring a new person in, it's always like, what are the benefits of the situation? And they're like, it's like having a best friend. And I like what Jaden said to her dad, like, well, why doesn't she just get a friend?
Get a friend.
Jaden should be in every episode with every family, in my opinion.
I want her hosting the tell-all.
She should actually be on every reality show that has dating involved.
Because Jaden asks the real questions.
She says what we're all thinking and in the way we want to all say it.
Yeah.
Just completely disrespectful.
Oh, my heart goes out to her so hardcore. Like, I just feel her pain and her humiliation about this situation.
Yeah.
And I truly want the best for Jaden.
Me too. That seeing those kids is heartbreaking, because even Preston going along with it is also sad, because he feels like he's trying to keep this connection to his dad, who doesn't care about his kids, much like Garrick. Like,
right.
Although he seems like he cares a little more.
Yeah.
Like, he did have some, questions after that, I think, for a brief moment.
No.
Like, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah. Even though Steve sucks too, Garrick is just purely self-centered.
He's the worst. He's the worst by a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys have any final thoughts about the show? About where do we think this is going? Do we think that we'll end with Bert coming to America this season?
I would love for Bert to not come. I need like one satisfying betrayal on the final episode.
Yeah. Right.
A shocking disappointment.
I want a shocking disappointment from one of these men so I can move on in my life with a smidge of hope.
We deserve it.
Or Bert comes to America and falls in love with a better guy.
That's true.
And leaves Joel. And large wife falls in love. Or actually, this is my fantasy of an ending. Bert comes to America. Her and Danielle fall in love.
Yes.
They get married. And Garrick is left with his wet noodle dick in his hands.
Yeah.
Alone. Weeping. That is my fantasy for an ending.
We all need Garrick humiliated.
I want him humiliated. I hate this man.
And I want him weeping where I'm like, I know why he's crying, because we ruined.
Yeah. And they're just playing like Goodbye Earl by the Chicks.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Blasting it. I just need to see him weeping and we're all happy and not disgusted.
Like, yeah.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. We got to go. Andy tweeted us. I haven't seen the tweet yet, but he did tweet
exciting. Wow. Wow.
But tell everybody where they can find your podcast.
We are Hollywood Crime Scene. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram. We have a Patreon. We post lots of bonus content and ad-free episodes. And yeah.
You know what? I did want to bring up one news item before we end, because you guys are my official, and I'm making you guys my official Love is Blind correspondents. Ayana and Jarrett just announced that they are divorcing.
Oh, I saw that this morning.
Same.
Yeah. If you guys don't remember, Jarrett had a choice between Mallory and Ayana. Mallory turned him down, so he went for number two, which was a big point of contention for them, but they ended up getting married and they announced that they're moving in different directions, but they still love each other. So
wow, what a surprise.
I mean, there's not I'm not surprised when anyone on a reality TV show dating show gets divorced.
Yeah,
like it's literally never shocking to me.
It was like I'm actually usually kind of like good for them.
Good for you.
You got married too early.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
The only thing that got me is that they did like a joint statement and the location was Minding Our Business. And I have to say, absolutely not. Because you know what? I paid for that wedding. I paid for that wedding with my subscription.
I did too.
I paid to watch your entire relationship. So no, I'm going to need some of that information. Why did you guys break
it? Your own business.
It is our business. You're right. It is our fucking business.
You made it our business. What do you mean?
Oh my God. Yeah. I feel like once you get on a TV and a reality TV show, you got to see it through. We get to know all the details at the end that we got to know at the beginning. Like those are actually when I'm really interested.
Same.
Exactly. Exactly. So
it's why I follow multiple 90 day cast members on Instagram, because I need to know what are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. And you want to be the first to see their breakup post.
Like, for sure. For sure. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for doing this. This was a real treat. I love you guys.
Love you too.
I love you too.
It was really fun. Bye, Kara.
Have a good one. Bye.